Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm Neva Roney. Today, I'm joined by Troy Leith, owner and operator of Midwest Meats in Abilene, Kansas. Troy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Today, we're going to be chatting a bit about the unique business Troy operates and how it serves the local rural Kansas communities. With a fondness for Kansas agriculture, a love for local community, and respect for the meat production process, Troy and his family filled a need in Dickinson County when they opened a craft butcher shop and on-farm meat harvesting unit where they take their operation to the producer. They provide locally raised cuts of meat for their local community, from beef to pork to lamb and bison to even elk. Starting out here, could you describe your business and sort of what you do?
Our business is called Midwest Meats Abilene. And I would describe it as our whole mission for our business is connecting local producers to local consumers. We really want to serve a local community with locally sourced meats. And we work pretty hard at that through some education pieces and just our efforts to accomplish that mission.
And why a mobile harvesting unit? And can you kind of describe what that entails?
Well, the why a mobile harvesting unit is very interesting how we started on that. We talked about our business plan for a year or two before we ever really started hitting the ground. And we ran into interesting things. And that is Abilene, like many small towns, has zoned out what they call slaughtering in their city limits. We knew, though, to complete our mission of connecting local producers to local retail, we had to be in Abilene. Because in Dickinson County, Abilene is pretty much the economic center of things. So we were kind of sent back to the drawing board. We were pretty deep into the project when we ran across this. And we came across the mobile harvest unit. We read a lot about it. We studied into it a lot. Found a person out in Colorado that makes USDA spec mobile harvesting trailers. So we went and set up. We talked to the zoning folks and said, if we do our harvesting outside of town, then are we good to go? And essentially take that piece out of it, and we're like any other grocery store at best, because we bring it back to town, roll it in our coolers here in our facility, and this is where we cut and process everything. That's kind of the why of the mobile harvest unit. It was our most economical answer at the time. We couldn't find another one in Kansas operating under any kind of inspection. We ran across a few in some other states. There are some operating under USDA inspection. That's really the why and how we came across the mobile unit.
And how do you see this unique way of harvesting and business? How do you see it serving the rural communities around you?
I think the rural communities appreciate it. The biggest surprise is a lot of people raise their own meat source. They may raise their own hogs or their own beef cattle or their lambs or goats or bison. And lots of times it's a real personal experience for them. So one of the things we've discovered that I think this is here for a while if we treat this right, what we've discovered is that then our part of it becomes very personal also. We're at someone's home finishing the process of them raising their own meat source. And when you spend that much time around an animal, you get to know them, right? And everybody's aware of what the purpose is. So we show up on site with our view. My personal view on that is that we owe that whole process. We owe the animal all the respect that we can muster. Our job is humane handling. Our job is a humane process. And we take that very seriously. That's probably been the biggest shocker to us. And a lot of people just really appreciate and enjoy that. It's the absolute lowest stress to the animal way to start them into the processing system, because we show up on site where the animal lives. There's no stress of loading. There's no stress of hauling, running them up into a new pen system with a bunch of strange animals beside them. So the zero stress handling of it, the humane way we can do that, really, I think, is the biggest deal to rural communities. Plus, a lot of people, it opens doors. I can buy an animal when it's small, maybe where I buy it from, the producer brings it to me. I can pin it up. I can feed it out, but maybe I don't have a trailer to haul it somewhere. We then come right to the farm. We've had several situations where we go to the farm ahead of time and kind of scout out, how will we do this? We guide the person through that, and they're always ready when we get there. So a lot of just opens doors for people to maybe raise their own meat that maybe didn't have the means to otherwise.
What does a, quote, normal day or week look like for you?
A normal week in our facility, of course, we're processing meat daily. We're bringing it into the table and processing and packaging it. Our harvest crew is a little bit schedule-wise on when the producer or when the customer can be available. Most people like to be there when we show up, especially the first time, because we need to figure out where we set up our trailer, figure out where the animal's at. Typical week is we're processing in the building with our crew, you know, normal work day, and then our harvesting crew, it varies. Maybe it's first thing in the morning, maybe it's end of the day. This time of year, we try to go first thing in the morning when it's cooler. It's just easier on everybody. So the harvesting portion of it can kind of vary. We do quite a few Saturday mornings for people once in a while. That's a pretty typical day. Our retail front really is gaining a lot of action. In any given day, our retail front may have 5-6 people, you know, browsing our bins and bunkers and buying out of our fresh case. The other thing we've discovered is people really do appreciate having a place to go buy a higher quality piece of meat. Whether it's a steak or a pork chop or lamb, we have fresh lamb in our cooler. I don't know that there's anywhere else you can on the regular buy locally sourced lamb. So we're trying to have that gain some traction around there. But on the retail side, that gets pretty busy, especially towards the weekends.
So I'd say that you're kind of on that bleeding edge of this type of business. What kind of opportunities and challenges does that present to you?
I thought about this quite a bit. Being on the cutting edge of it, I like the way you put it, the bleeding edge, because sometimes it is the bleeding edge. If you're doing something innovative, you're swimming upstream. I have to admit, at this point, I was pretty naive to it. The stream we're swimming up is a little stronger current sometimes than we thought it might be. But it kind of goes like this. What we're doing on the farm is how it used to be done for a long, long time. Then we started seeing more retail outlets. We started seeing more processors. When I go back to say these small communities have zoned out that slaughterhouse, it makes perfect sense, because if you've ever been around a great big processing facility, you have to be careful where you put that. Nobody wants that in their backyard, but everybody wants a craft butcher shop supplying locally sourced meat in their neighborhood. So it's one of those things. We're on the leading edge of that, saying every community wants that, so let's figure out how to do it. We're a custom shop. Our meat is all one in and one out, and it's different. It tastes different. People notice it compared to some of the big chain things they buy. I'm not saying it's better or worse. I'm just saying it's different. We've discovered that being on the edge of it is interesting, but we have to decide really what does the world want. Being on the front edge of it, we've learned a bunch of things. The regulation book is set up for what we call the norm these days, and that's a big slaughterhouse facility. At this point, we're working very hard to do a better job on our inspected harvested meat that we put in our retail case. We're going to be required to build a static location for that, which we're playing along with. We're trying to figure that out. Our naive side kind of figured we'd roll along with it. It depends on the location. Some states have figured out how to adapt it, and some states have not figured out. And I'm not saying they're doing a bad job. They're working very hard with us to try to figure this out, but our current rule book doesn't lend itself to what we're doing out here on this innovative edge. The challenge with that is we've had such a backup. We still know small processing lockers that you have to schedule a year ahead to have an animal process there. And that's kind of hard to predict. That's really the thing. Being on the edge of it, you have to hang in there. We have a lot of supporters, and it's really just our own regulation system that makes it a little bit difficult. But all that's there for a reason. You got to make sure you have safe food product out there. I kind of figure it this way. If healthy food is the initiative, that's really what we care about, then what we're doing here on this edge is wins, because food produced in your own environment that you consume is healthier. It's healthier to eat food produced right in your own environment. If humane handling is really the big issue, then what we're doing on this innovative edge is the way to do it, because we're zero stress on the animal. We're not loading it. We're not going through all that again. And remember, it gets down to an individual thing. We have the utmost concern about that part of our process. That's where most of our attention goes. If environment is really the issue, then our system wins too, because an animal is raised in an environment and it's taking energy to grow and develop. So we harvest it locally and we consume it, taking in that energy. The byproduct that's left after we've harvested the animal goes over here and gets buried into compost and gets regenerated back into the soil. So everything full cycles right there in that environment. So I think, you know, I go back to the place, where's the place for this in the future? I think there's a place for it in the future. I think we eventually have to adapt and get better at some of this because of some of the benefits that it brings with it. But it brings challenges with it too, to try to figure out how to navigate all of that stuff.
How does this operation, being a family business, impact your decisions?
Well, the interesting thing about being a family business, when we first talked about doing this, it's myself and my wife, and we have three children in our family. The two boys, they've been in the retail meat world since they graduated from high school. Leroy, our oldest, is in Des Moines, and he currently still works at a large place as a meat department manager. So their real passion is in this retail meat cutting and just making sure people get a good cut and a craft cut. So we started our business with a continuation plan. A lot of businesses struggle with that. What's my continuation plan? What happens next? But we started with that in place. So we said, we expect, let's go all in on this. Let's get it going. We love this community. We love Kansas. We're lifers here, and we want to do our part in that. So we expect this should be a 2 or 3 generation business. So every decision we make is weighed against, is it good for the community? Is it good for our partners that we're trying to do a really good job with, far as producers? And is it good for the longevity of what we want to accomplish as a business? No decision we make is really just a off-the-cuff decision. We sit down and we discuss it and we talk about it and we come out with a direction. So that lets us move a little faster, but it also probably lets us move with a little more concern than, if we're a bigger corporate structure, for example, community doesn't weigh quite as heavy on your decisions. But for us, we're part of this community and it's part of us. So it weighs as much into anything as a lot of our other factors when we do make a business decision.
One of my favorite questions to ask people when we're talking about their jobs or careers or businesses is, what is your favorite part of what you get to do?
Well, the favorite part for me is very easy. I've lived in Kansas all my life. I lived on a small farm, and I've always chose to work in the ag arena. There's no better demographic out there as far as where you're going to do business than Kansas farmers and ranchers. It's just no better group of people to work with. So I've always chose to stay in that arena. So now I get to work in a business that I love. I get to work with my family. Not very many people can say that anymore. And I just get to work in a whole industry called the ag here in Kansas that is just part of me. I love every part about that. And the struggles that come with it then are just hurdles that we figure out how to overcome as we go along. I love that personal connection of it. We try very hard to do as just an absolutely good a job as we can do on each and every one.
Wonderful. Is there anything else you would like to add?
What I'd like to add is, I go back to this. We love what we're doing in the community we're in. Everybody would like to have a craft butcher shop in their neighborhood that's operating on the model that we're operating under. Anybody that hasn't been in our building, I would invite him to come in, because we may be the only craft butcher shop I've been in that has a kitchen over on one side of the building. Our mission is craft butcher, to teach people these cuts that we've forgotten about. And we knew along with that, we had to do some education on how do you do that. So every Saturday for sure, we're cooking samples of something. Periodically, we do what we call a guest chef event, where we have people come in and we'll cook a specific piece. We've added to that some cutting demonstrations. So we'll cook a steak, and then we'll take our group of 12 to 14 people in our back room, and we'll go through a demonstration on how did we cut that steak. That we think is important. We have to teach people where the food came from. The real message I have is, as we navigate this out here on this front edge of it, how we can find a pocket of really good producers and take their product, leaving them a bit of a premium for their product, beating a little bit the commodity commodities that our farmers, then we're helping a farm. Then we take it to retail. At that point, we can source locally sourced animals, and we could put that craft butcher shop in any neighborhood that really has the need for it. Now we have a repeatable model that we can go most anywhere that there's a real need and figure out how to do it.
That is Troy Leaf, owner of Midwest Meats Abilene, a mobile meat harvesting operation and craft butcher shop in Abilene, Kansas. Troy, thanks for coming on Inside Ag today.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Find a link to Midwest Meats website in our show notes and check out what Troy's business can do for you and your family.
That's it for this episode of Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture. If you enjoyed today's show, be sure to give us a like and share this with others.